It's a race against rain showers predicted for the afternoon as 9 volunteers work quickly to build a small shelter and storage unit in an abandoned lot in a southwest Atlanta neighborhood.
My name is Caroline Burnett, and I've been working with the Madhousers about 3 years now. The living unit's about the size of a twin-size bed. It's 4x8 in footprint, and, 4 feet tall, and then the storage unit's about half that. It's a pretty simple box, basically.
This plywood shelter may lack foundation, electricity, and plumbing, but with a roof and locking door, Willie James Barber says it's a lot better than the tarp tent he slept in when he first came here. He'd never heard of Madhousers until one day the group left him a note on his tent.
It was kind of a surprise because I didn't know that it was a organization around, all a group of people around that will help people that really in need. We got good neighbors, good people that still care about people.
The neighbors he's referring to aren't just these volunteers. It's Esther and Chris Crane, who live in the house next door and who've brought their 2-year-old son, Liam, to visit today's build.
What's going to go in there?
This empty lot behind their house used to be a hot spot for drug activity and prostitution. But Barber keeps those elements away.
And to meet such great neighbors who know, are looking out for you, that's what being neighbors is all about. And that's what we found out James is doing for us.
Not everyone is always this sympathetic. Just last week, the group took down a shelter in another neighborhood after a nearby resident complained. President Nick Hess says the group tries to make sure there's no neighborhood objection to their shelters before they build.
We're just trying to make sure that people have shelter and that they are able to hold on to their possessions. We're not interested in getting them in trouble or, causing problems within the community.
It's not always easy. Some people wonder if the Madhousers aren't just helping homeless people to stay homeless. Hess counters by saying that their shelters are really just the opposite, a helping hand for people with few to no advantages.
Imagine what it's like to try and get a job when you haven't had a bath in 5 days, or what it's like to try and pick yourself up from your bootstraps when you're hungry or when you're tired. I mean, when I haven't gotten enough sleep, I am piss poor at my job, and I've got all the advantages. I cannot imagine what it's like to stay outside for a week and then try and do something.
Whether people support or reject the work of the Madhousers might come down to a philosophical question. Do we live in a just world in which people ultimately earn what happens to them, good or bad? Or can something like homelessness happen to anyone? Nick Hess firmly believes the latter. Since the recession began, the group's client demographic has shifted. It's no longer just the chronically homeless. They're getting more calls from the former working and middle classes. And sometimes Hess says he wishes they could do more.
But I don't have jobs in my pocket. Until somebody comes up with some sort of actual workable alternative, I'm going to keep doing this.
90 minutes after arriving, they're done. Hess hands Barber a key and a padlock.
Well, I'm looking for the most, to get out the element, the rain or snow or whatever. This project have helped me a lot.
It's a short walk to the nearby lot where volunteers' cars and trucks are parked. You can't see the shelter from here. Kate Sweeney, WABE.
Kate Sweeney is with me now to talk a little bit more about this story. Such a complicated issue. I know all that goes on in my mind when I'm at a traffic light and there's a homeless person there asking for money. Should I do something for this person? Anything short of giving them a job, is it bad? Is it only enabling them to remain homeless?
Absolutely. I think this story raises the question of what is the right good deed for the situation? I think a lot of us have experienced that. The person asks us for some change. And is it the correct thing? Is it the right thing? Is it the most helpful thing to give that change, or maybe to donate that change to a support organization? Or is it better to actually do some hands-on work someplace like the Atlanta Community Food Bank or somewhere else? And the folks at the Madhousers certainly believe that they're really giving hands-on support to the folks most in need, because you come in and there's an empty lot. And by the time you've left your day's volunteer work, there are physical results from your efforts. You know, they could hand Mr. Barber the keys to his new shelter, and, you know, he didn't have to worry about getting wet in the storm that night.
Kate, again, thank you for the story, and thank you for spending a few minutes with us today.
Thank you so much, John. I'm always happy to talk about a story. And John, as long as we're looking at Good Deeds Day, is there a good deed someone's done for you that, you know, today makes you think about?
It may seem like such a simple thing. I went grocery shopping, and I left my wallet right in the middle of the grocery store. And I was at the checkout, did not have anything to pay for the groceries with. Well, not only did some kind man come walking up with my wallet, but the person behind me was offering to pay for my groceries.
Oh.
And so it was this convergence of two good deeds in one, and that's overwhelming.
And so you took them both up on it.
Yeah. No, I was doubly grateful that day, and it made me feel better about the world.
That's great. That's great. Well, happy Good Deeds Day, John.
And same to you as well.